An ice-cold drink on a hot summer day is as American as, well, pick your cliché. Even on a sweltering day in the Deep South, it's nothing to pick up a bag of ice or an ice cream cone at a wayside market. But it wasn't always that easy. Before electric refrigeration, bringing ice to warm climates was a tricky business, one pioneered in the 19th century by a wealthy Bostonian named Frederick Tudor. Author Gavin Waitman explores Tudor's ice empire in his new book, The Frozen Water Trade. Waitman says that Tudor's first ice-selling voyage to the Caribbean island of Martinique was not exactly a success.
When his ship set off in 1806 from Boston, you know, the local paper and everyone thought he was completely mad. In fact, he did get a shipload out there, but he'd forgotten that nobody had anywhere to keep it. And people would take it away and put it in salt to try and preserve it and that sort of thing. So that trip was a bit of a failure. But over the next few years, he discovered that if you insulate the ice very carefully in the hold of a ship, you will lose some. But he did various experiments of ice melting, and he thought it lost about 50 pounds an hour. And that was slow enough for you to get it to Havana. Then he sold to Charleston, then Savannah, and then New Orleans by the 1820s.
So what did they use for insulation?
Well, mainly sawdust. Initially, he used hay, Frederick Tudor. Then he tried all sorts of other things like charcoal. But sawdust, for some reason, turned out to be the best insulation. So they put special boarding in the hold of a ship, then a layer of sawdust, then sawdust between the layers of blocks of ice. And once the ice was nice and neatly cut, you could pack it very, very well. And that's all that did it.
Where did the ice come from? Where were they getting it from? It was just made by nature, right?
All the ice that was sold by Frederick Tudor right up to the end of the 19th century was cut from lakes in winter. And you can get an enormous tonnage of ice from really not a very enormous lake.
And where did the ice get stored? You said that there was no place to store it in the initial trips to Martinique, but it's still blazing hot. How do you store ice?
Well, what they did was they built ice houses. Initially, when Frederick Tudor started the business, he didn't have anywhere to store it in Boston, so he had to cut it at the end of winter, when there was good ice-cutting weather, wait for the harbour to be free of ice, and sell it immediately. But it became very clear that wasn't much good, because the biggest demand was in the summer. So you had to be able to store it, first of all, where you cut it. And that's when they built these initially big wooden ice houses above ground. Then, as the demand built up, he took all the timber and the carpenters with him on a ship. He had terrible trouble finding a place where they would allow him to build his first ice house. But as the industry got going in Charleston, Savannah, New Orleans, he had to build ice houses at the other end. So he ended up with ice houses all over the place. In Calcutta, the British so much wanted his ice that they got together and built several ice houses over the years. It was sold to them for about half a century. The same thing in Bombay. The British built a stone above-ground ice house.
So how does Frederick Tudor, the American entrepreneur, strike you? Is he the quintessential American entrepreneur?
Lots of people think that Frederick Tudor is the absolutely archetypal entrepreneur. Particularly, people would say, in his lifetime, when people began to realize what he'd done and he was written up in the magazines, the merchants' magazines and so on, they'd say he was a typical Yankee. He'd made something out of something that people thought was absolutely valueless. He has, in the past, had a little bit of vogue. In the 1930s in Harvard, he would be used as an example of brilliant entrepreneurship. And one of the reasons is that he did, in the early days, sell ice almost like a sort of drug, where people were a bit chary about drinking cold things because it made their teeth hurt. He'd promote it, he'd get bartenders to make people drinks up and that sort of thing. And he started from absolutely nothing, really, and created an entirely new and very successful industry. He never, in his lifetime, I say he died in 1864, he never imagined anyone would ever produce artificial ice. He thought it was a complete nonsense.
Gavin Waitman is the author of The Frozen Water Trade, published by Hyperion. He joined us from London. Thank you.
Thank you very much.